But Father, we thank you so much for those words through our Lord and Savior Mashiach Yahushua. And we'll do a little review from part one on the covenant, oaths, vows, blessing, and cursing. But before I forget, Thursday, which is May 28th, is Pentecost, which is really the Feast of Weeks. So remember that, and remember how important that is, the outpouring of the Ruach HaKodesh. You know, cry so much for that.
So glad I asked the wife if it's gone, and she said, yeah.
And so the review is, we got to remember, this is about a covenant. Covenant is a reciprocal relationship. So we're talking about our covenant with Yahweh. What covenant have we actually made with Yahweh? And so we're going to go into the book of Deuteronomy, which is the book, the covenant book. Deuteronomy means, that's a Greek word, it should be, these are the words. Deuteronomy chapter 5. We've been doing a lot in Deuteronomy, so we're going to do a lot of reading because I think it's important for us, people who are not experienced with covenants. And I think when you lived in dangerous territories, you had to have covenants with individuals to keep alive for your own protection. So we have a government now, so we don't have to enter any covenants. So one thing I think we can usually realize is possibly marriage. That we have any kind of reflection. I don't believe most people, when they became a Christian, thought of themselves as making a covenant, or even actually did a covenant with Yahweh and Christ. So let's just review that. So chapter 5, verse 2 through 5. Yahweh our Elohim cut, remember the word solemnized is the word karath, which is cut. Yahweh, and so, one other thing. Deuteronomy is the last 3 months of the 40 years. So it's going to be a review. So the Sinai covenant, which we're going to see, and this covenant is an addition, because obviously there's a lot more commandments now than there was in the Sinai covenant. A lot more things that we shall go over. So he's going to say, "This we're in the land of Moab." The other one was in the land, it was in Mount Sinai.
And what verse did you say?
Yeah, 2 through 5. Yahweh our Elohim cut with us a covenant in Horeb, and that is, you think that is the mountain range where Mount Sinai is. So it doesn't say Mount Sinai; it says Horeb, but that's what the range is called. Not with our fathers did Yahweh cut this covenant, but with us, ourselves. He's here today, all of us living. Face to face spake Yahweh with you in the mount. And here's another thing, too. People say, the scripture came from the Holy Spirit. The scripture came from the Holy Spirit. All Christians, no, it came from the mouth of Yahweh. And here was Yahweh face to face with men. And so Moses was the mouth of Yahweh. And Yahweh spoke directly to Moses. Real simple. Face to face spake Yahweh with you in the mount out of the midst of the fire. I was standing between Yahweh and you at that time to declare unto you the word of Yahweh, for you shrank with fear from the presence of the fire and went not up into the mount. So that's a little review. Now we're going into 31. So that's a reflection. Thou therefore here stand with me, and let me speak unto thee all the commandments and the statutes and the regulations, which thou shalt teach them, that they may do them in the land which I am giving unto them to possess it. So then, So then you must observe to do as Yahweh your Elohim has commanded you. You must not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. In all the way which Yahweh your Elohim hath commanded you, must you walk, that you may live and it will be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. Now we go to chapter 26 of Deuteronomy. And so really 26 to 30 is really an encompassing of this new covenant, or an additional covenant.
So this is just the last 3 months?
Yeah.
The whole book?
Yeah. And so it's reviewing, they're in Moab, And that's where Moses dies, and Yahweh buries him in the Valley of Moab. He dies on the mountain. 26:16-19. Wendy, would you read that?
This day is Yahweh thy Elohim commanding thee to do these statutes and the regulations. Thou shalt therefore observe and do them with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Thou hast a vow today that Yahweh shall be thy God, and that thou wilt walk in his ways and keep his statutes and his commandments and his regulations, and wilt hearken unto his voice. And Yahweh hath a vow today that thou shalt be his people as a treasure, as he spake unto thee, and that thou shalt observe all his commandments. And hath a vow that he will set thee on high above all the nations which he hath made, for praise and for renown and for glory, and that thou shalt be a holy people unto Yahweh thy Elohim as he hath spoken.
So we see the heading right above 16 where it talks about the covenant of vows. So here's what Yahweh is promising us. And really, when a person should become a Christian, that'd be a great stand to be able to say, thou hast a vow today that Yahweh shall be thy God, thy Elohim. So that's what I'm avowing. Yahweh is my God. Christ is my Lord and Savior. How much simpler could that be? Now we go to 27 and verse 9 and 10. And Moses and the priest, the Levites, spake unto all Israel, saying, keep silent and hear, O Israel. This day thou hast been a people unto Yahweh thy Elohim. Thou shalt therefore hearken unto the voice of Yahweh thy Elohim and do his commandments and his statutes which I am commanding thee today. Now go to 14-28. Then shall the Levites respond and say unto every man of Israel with voice uplifted. And we're going to begin with the curses. It's a very simple thing. He says, and the book I was reading was saying, why? Is because of all the transgressions they did to the 40 years. So instead of beginning with the blessings, we're going to begin with the curses. Because you are a stiff-necked people. So here they come. This is just part of it. Cursed be the man that maketh an image, cut or molded, an abomination unto Yahweh, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and put it in a secret place. And all the people shall respond and say, Amen. Cursed be he that holdeth in light esteem his father or his mother. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is he that moveth back the boundary of his neighbor. And all the people shall say, Amen. Does everybody agree with these curses?
Yeah,
these are righteous sayings, very simply. Cursed is he that causeth the blind to wander in the way. And all the people should say, Amen. And what kind of, I mean, so these are all justifiable things. Cursed is he that perverteth the right of the sojourner, the fatherless, or the widow, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is he that lieth with his father's wife, because he hath turned aside his father's covenant, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is he that lieth with any beast, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is he, and that should be Amen. Yeah, it's something here. In Hebrew, the word is not A, it's Ah. Cursed is he that lieth with his sister, daughter of his father, or daughter of his mother, and all the people shall say, Amen. Good reflection on just this, you know, how much problem we have with sex.
Yeah.
You know, just look at these addressing. And how far it goes, lying with bees, lying with your mother, your stepmother, lying with your stepsister, lying with me. It's like, what the heck is going on? But this is nothing new.
Yeah.
You know, this starts way back here. 23. Cursed is he that lieth with his mother-in-law, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is he that smiteth his neighbor secretly, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is he that taketh a bribe to shed innocent blood, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is he that establish not the words of this law to do them, and all the people shall say, Amen. Now we're going to go into the blessing. And will somebody read 1 through 15? Give me a break.
Yeah, I will.
Okay.
Richard, why don't you read, right?
Possibly.
And it shall be, if thou wilt hearken unto the voice of Yahweh thy Elohim, to observe to do all his commandments which I am commanding thee today, then will Yahweh thy Elohim set thee on high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come in on thee and reach thee, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of Yahweh thy Elohim. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of the ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the young of the kine, and the ewe of the flock. Blessed shall be the baskets and the kneading trough. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Yahweh will deliver thine enemies who rise up against thee to be routed before thee. In one way shall they come out against thee, and seven ways shall they flee before thee. Yahweh will command to be with thee the blessing in the storehouses and in whereunto thou settest thy hand, and will bless thee in the land which Yahweh that Elohim is giving unto thee. Yahweh will confirm thee unto himself for a holy people, as he sware unto thee, because thou dost keep the commandments of Yahweh thy Elohim, and dost walk in his ways. And all the people in the earth shall see that the name of Yahweh hath been called upon thee, and shall be afraid of thee. And Yahweh will cause to thee to abound in that which is good, in the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the fruit of thy soil, upon the soil which Yahweh swore to thy fathers to give unto thee. Yahweh will open, you see the 15?
Yeah.
Okay, Yahweh will open unto thee his rich storehouse, the heavens, to give rain and thy land in the season, to bless every work of thy hand. So shalt thou lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow. And Yahweh will give thee to be the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be only above, shall not be beneath, because thou dost hearken unto the commandments of Yahweh thy Elohim, which I am commanding thee today to observe and to do, and dost not turn aside any of the words which I am commanding you today to the right hand or to the left, to go after other Elohims to serve them. But it shall be, if thou do not hearken unto the voice of Yahweh thy Elohim, to observe and to do all his commandments and his statutes which I am commanding thee today, then shall come in upon thee all these curses and shall reach thee.
Okay, and then the curses begin. And the curse, the first usage of curse is used with the serpent. That's the same word curse. He was cursed for the ground's sake. The man was cursed, and the woman was not cursed. No, Eve was not cursed, and the man was, the ground sake was cursed.
Wow.
It says the woman was going to have
suffering.
Yeah, suffering and childbirth, and her head's going to be the husband. Yeah. It's going to be ruled. Yeah. The blessing began in Genesis 1:22, that's back on the creation. So blessing and cursing is all the way through the Word, and it's very justifiable. We know in Galatians, let's go to Galatians 1:8-9. Most people don't believe. Talk about that we're not under the curse of the law. So we have to reconcile that again with justice and righteousness, and what do we actually mean to be a curse? Because we saw over here, if a person lies with his animal, he's not going to be blessed. All right? And obviously, he's going to get demonized and so forth, or whatever happens to it. Galatians 1:8-9. You want to read that, Aaron?
Sure. But even if we, or a messenger out of the heaven, announce a glad message unto you, a glad message aside from that which we announce unto you, accursed let him be.
Yeah, can you read one more?
As we have said before, even now again, I say, if anyone is announcing unto you a glad message aside from that which ye accepted, accursed let him be.
And so the church has curses on. You know that they've added so much things and removed so many things. Quote unquote Bible translations. So is a cursing in the New Testament, in the church epistles? Yes, it is. Very simple. Now we go back to Deuteronomy 29. And so you know, cutting a covenant with Yahweh is everybody's purpose in this life. Either you take the covenant or you reject the covenant. I'm not going to enter into a covenant with you. So I'm not going to take the blessings. And why you'd be a fool to say, no, I want the blessings, but I also want the lust of my flesh. So I want both. And I don't want to be cursed either. And so much of the Christianity can be like that today because people feel like they are not under the law anymore. Now, that's taken in the light of Levitical law, I think, the seven feast days and so on and so forth. But we'll go into verse 1 to give us a context. These are the words of the covenant which Yahweh commanded Moses to cut with the sons of Israel in the land of where?
Moab.
That's where they are. Besides the covenant which he cut with them in Horeb. So we see two covenants here. It's adding to it. And we know that our covenant is going to be different than with them because we're removing the law of these laws and they didn't have Christ at that particular time. So our relationships go to Christ, and we can eat the unclean things, pork and things like that too. Now we go to verse 10 through 28. We're going to see it. And it's called ratifying. So, and it's like with with marriages, and it should be somebody lays out their vows. And people will say, witness, and we go, witness. Then the other person lays out their vows, and the minister should say, witness, and we should say, witness. So we're holding you accountable to these vows. You are witnesses that you said these things, and you voluntarily enter into this relationship. This is what's happening here. You are stationed today, all of you, before Yahweh your Elohim, your heads, your tribes, and your elders, and your officers, every man of Israel, your little ones, your wives, and the sojourner that is in the midst of thy camps, from him that heweth the wood unto him that draweth the water, that thou mayest pass through into the covenant of Yah, see, passing through the covenant of Yahweh thy Elohim, and into his oath, which Yahweh thy Elohim is cutting with thee today. That he may confirm thee today as his own people. If you enter the covenant, you're going to be his people. While he becometh thy own Elohim, as he spake unto thee, and as he sware unto thy fathers, unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob. And not with you alone am I cutting this covenant and this oath, but with him who is here with us standing today before Yahweh our Elohim, and with him who is not here with us today. And that's for our children. So everybody's got to get to the point. This is the book of the covenant. This is what we're agreeing to. What is written in our age and for our particular time period. I'm agreeing to abide by that. And when I miss it, I'm agreeing to repent and turn the direction and ask for forgiveness. Let's see here, 16. For ye know how we dwelt in the land of Egypt, and how we passed through the midst of the nations which ye did pass through, and ye saw their disgusting images, and their manufactured gods, the wood and the stone, the silver and the gold that are with them. Lest there be among you a man or a woman or a family or a tribe whose heart is turning today from Yahweh, our Elohim, to go and serve the Elohims of those nations. Lest there be among you a root fruitful of poison and wormwood. And so it come to pass while he is hearing the words of this oath that he will bless himself in his heart, saying, so he obviously he's going to take the oath, but he's not going to mean it. Mm-hmm. So it's coming with his mouth. Prosperity shall I have, because you're amongst all the Jews. You guys say, yeah, I'm with you. Prosperity shall I have, although in the stubbornness of my heart I go on, so that the drunkenness added to you to the thirst. Yahweh will not be willing to forgive him, and then will the anger of Yahweh and his jealousy smoke against that man, and all the oath that is written in this scroll shall settle down upon him, which obviously be the curses, and Yahweh wipe out his name from under the heavens, and Yahweh single him out for calamity out of the tribes of Israel, according to all the oaths of the covenant that is written in the scroll of the law. So that the generation coming after your sons, who shall rise up after you, and the foreigner who shall come in from a far off land will say, when they see the plagues of that land and the sickness thereof, whereunto Yahweh have made it sick, brimstone and salt, and there's Sodom and Gomorrah, burning up with the land thereof, shall not be sown, neither shall shoot forth, neither shall there come up there at any herbage like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboim, which Yahweh overthrew in his anger and in his wrath. So there's Malachi's teaching, anger and wrath. His motion, and yea, all the nations will say, for what cause hath Yahweh done thus unto this land? What meaneth this great heat of anger? Then will the men say, because they forsook the what?
Covenant.
The covenant of Yahweh. He told you, if you forsake this covenant, here's what's going to happen. Here's the result. Now the Elohim of their fathers, which he cut with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt and went and served other gods and bowed down to them. If I serve other gods, am I going to be blessed by Yahweh?
No.
Today? You know, is it going to benefit me at all?
No.
Am I going to have consequences?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And I think many times the curses is Yahweh withholding any blessing. Because now you're in a fallen creation, and if you refuse Yahweh, he's not going to help you either. Very simple. A rapist, you don't make it so he gets away. You don't give money to a drug dealer so he keeps it up his deal, which he was called his blessings. I'm going to bless you. No, because that encourages the behavior, and what you need to do is be destroyed because you're hurting everybody else around you. 27. Therefore did the anger of Yahweh kindle upon that land to bring it and upon it all the curse that is written in this scroll. And therefore hath Yahweh rooted them out from off their own soil in anger and wrath and in great indignation and cast them into another land as at that day. Now think of that with, I think, North Korea. You're looking at Cuba. You're looking at Venezuela. You're looking at Nazi Germany when it was happening. You're looking at Russia. I mean, you're looking at what happened when people forsake the covenant of Yahweh. And I think consequences. And we're looking at what man has done continually. Now we go to chapter 30. We're going to read 1 through 10. Will somebody read 1 through 10 on this?
I will. And it shall come to pass, when all these things shall come in upon thee, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before thee, and thou shalt bring them back unto thy heart among all the nations, whither Yahweh the Elohim hath driven thee. And thou shalt return unto Yahweh the Elohim, and shalt hearken unto his voice, according to all that I am commanding thee today.
Wait, let's stop there. This is when we come back. So Yahweh is saying, guess what? Many of you are going to break my covenant. But it's not a one-time break and that's it. You're off. No, you can come back. And so, then you go, thou and thy sons.
Thou and thy sons with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Then will Yahweh, thy Elohim, bring back thy captivity and have compassion upon thee. And return and gather thee from among all the peoples whither Yahweh the Elohim hath scattered thee. Though thou be driven out unto the uttermost parts of the heavens, from thence will Yahweh thy Elohim gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. And Yahweh thy Elohim will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee good and multiply thee beyond thy fathers. And Yahweh thy Elohim will circumcise thy heart and the heart of thy seed to love Yahweh thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. And Yahweh thy Elohim will put all these oaths upon thine enemies and upon them who hated thee, who persecuted thee. But thou wilt return and hearken unto the voice of Yahweh and wilt do all his commandments which I am commanding thee today. And Yahweh the Elohim will make thee preeminent in every work of thy hand, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground for good. For Yahweh will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers. If thou hearken unto the voice of Yahweh thy Elohim to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this scroll of the law,
if thou return unto Yahweh thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul.
Okay.
He's rejoicing.
So that's it. You know, and then the summation is verse 15 through 20, which I will read. So the covenant is from 26 to 30. See, I've set before thee today, and this is what we present to our children or anybody else, life and prosperity and death and calamity. Now, here's the right way, there's the wrong way. For thou must keep the commandments of Yahweh thy God, which I am commanding thee today, to love Yahweh thy Elohim, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his regulations. So shall thou live and multiply, and Yahweh thy Elohim will bless thee in the land which thou art entering in to possess. And this is the promise. We need to claim that. You know, I'm walking with you, Yahweh. I'm keeping your regulations. I'm keeping your commandments. So I am holding you to that oath of blessing thee. But if thy heart shall turn away, and thou wilt not hearken, but shall be drawn away, and shall bow thyself down to other gods. And I think more of our society today is to government, to possessions, to drugs. You know, we see many people fall. Yeah, I mean, and you can just call them gods. I declare unto you today that ye shall perish. Ye shall not prolong your days upon the soil which thou art passing over Jordan to enter and possess. I call this against you today. So here, going into the ratification, he's calling a witness. Now he's Yahweh, he doesn't need a witness, but he's going to call the heaven and the earth as a witness.
What do you mean by ratification? I'm not
That's where you enter into it. So you're saying, he's saying, I'm doing this, and you say, we accept that.
And it's
bind, we're ratifying.
The law's ratifying.
What we have just agreed to. So here's our agreement. We'll take that. I call to witness against you today the heavens and the earth, that life and death have I set before thee, the blessing and the curse. Therefore shouldest thou choose life, that thou mayest live, thou and thy seed, to love you. You know, this is over and over and over again. To love Yahweh thy Elohim, to hearken unto his voice, and to cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and length of days, that thou mayest abide upon the soil which Yahweh sware to our fathers, Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and to unto them. Now, we saw what happened. You know, this is way before the kings. The king Saul. So we had the judges. We had Joshua, the whole generation. We have all the judges. Hundreds of years go by. We have King David, King Solomon. Things are very good. And then Solomon, he does what? He breaks the covenant. And guess what? All starts going south. And Josiah is one of the last righteous kings in Judah. Israel is already, I mean, the ten tribes have already been taken into captivity 150 years before Judah. And guess what? These blessings came on Hezekiah and they came on Josiah because the Assyrians took out Israel. They're a huge army. And they tried to take out Judah, right? Remember the 85,000 men that one night?
Yeah.
The curse was put upon these guys, and King Sennacherib went home with his tail between his legs. And then what happened to him? The curse hit him again. His two sons killed him.
Yeah.
And then Hezekiah and all of them got booty for like 3 days. All the money and the tools and everything else from these people because they took the blessing. Now, Josiah, and with our generation too, is 8 years old. His grandfather is who?
Manasseh.
Man. And his father is a bad guy. Manasseh is 50-some years of wickedness. He's 8 years old. He doesn't know except what's around him. And that's our society. And so they don't have this book, the Book of the Covenant. And so he doesn't know what is right. And most Christians today do not know what is right. Very simple when you come into it, when you start looking at why did that even exist there? You know? And so we're going to go into them in 2 Kings 22, Josiah. A great individual, and this is what we should do. And this is what we have done. All of a sudden, I wasn't raised with the Word. You know, I was praying to Mary and the rosary, you know, and believing all sorts of stuff. And then all of a sudden you open up this book and you're like,
I didn't even
Mary's a virgin. And it says, Mary's firstborn. What do you mean Mary's firstborn? She's a virgin. I mean, it's just one thing after another is contradicting to what you've been taught. And that's the same way with Josiah, as we'll be able to look at. And this is when he finds the word, 22, verse 10 and 11. Lonnie,
you want to read 10 and 11? Then Shaphan, the scribe, told the king, saying, a book hath Hilkiah the priest delivered unto me. And Shaphan read it before the king, and it came to pass when the king heard the words of the book of the law that he rent his clothes, and the king commanded.
That's it. He rent his clothes. That's it. That's what we should do. And I've read things, and in my own family, there was sin, and since 1 Corinthians 5, you know, my brother, who was fornicating with women, he would come to our family functions and even bring his girl to date and even sleep in my parents' house, fornicating in their house. You know, or you'd have, my parents have Playboys, you know, from my one brother had Playboy magazines in the house. You know, it should be, 1 Corinthians 5 says what? Don't eat with them. I didn't know that. And so you said, guess what? I just sinned, didn't I? You know, and at least Yahweh can say, okay, now you know. You know, other places didn't teach you don't hang around with fornicators, you don't hang around with drunkards who are brothers, and you give that choice and you choose not to do it, so be it. Can't eat with you guys. And so that's, I guess, with Josiah. Now, 23, 1 through 3.
I would like to be the guy reading to Josiah.
Yeah, I mean, you're everything that you're doing.
You're reading to the king.
Well, here's your little bell statue right next to your tombs. Your throne. I mean, you're right through your throne, and all of a sudden he's talking about gods, and you're like, knocking this one over, getting these things out of here.
Uh-oh.
That's like the guy who was the biker. Remember his name?
Mike Goldberg.
Yeah, Goldberg. And he was no biblical teaching, went to Vietnam, you know, killed people, a biker, fornicator, and he came to church. And the guy kept talking about fornicators. Most fornicators are going to go to hell. These fornicators, and he says, those fornicators must be some bad dudes.
Like
he
gladiators.
Said, what's a fornicator?
They're like gladiators.
Yeah, gladiators. What's a fornicator? Those are people who have sex with women they don't have married. And he was doing that.
So he went,
oh, God, I'm a fornicator. Yeah, so he went home and said, you got to go. Yeah, you got to get kicked around right over there. Yeah, I mean, I'm one of these guys. Time out.
That's not a blessed
place. Yeah,
I mean, that's so dear.
But here's 23, 1 to 3. Then the king sent, and there were gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of Yahweh, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets and the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which he had found in the house of Yahweh. And the king took his stand by the pillar and cut a covenant before Yahweh. So he's going to cut a covenant. He's never done it. To follow Yahweh and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart, with all their soul, to confirm the words of this covenant written in this book. And all the people took their stand in the covenant. And that's leadership. And so I think with older kids, you know, when they become the age of maturity, they get to that point, are you going to personally make that covenant? And I think with Life Church, the expedition, or the actually the baptism, is really like a signal. And they did a water baptism in their church. Not that they're saying you don't have to be water baptized, but you're really ratifying a covenant.
Okay.
I don't think they really realize, but they first agree to all this, and then a covenant is usually ratified by meals and things like that. That's when you cut a covenant and you usually eat. But in that way, it's a symbol of your ratification, is you have turned from your life and you're getting immersed to make Yahweh my God. and Christ my Lord. So I think it'd be a good sign if they put it that way. But they need to know, here's what you're agreeing to. You
agree
to
this. Gesture, not word gesture.
And then to ratify it before Yahweh. Now 23 verse 13. And so all the people were there. 23 verse 13.
That'd be a good thing to have at your house. And the kids can sign their name.
Yeah, you want to pressure. It's really between you. I can't do it. And don't do it to please me, because you're like one of those people inside that group that's saying, I'm doing it to please because everybody's around me. No.
We'll have to get the swimming pool back.
No, but everybody's got to sit there and say, at that particular time, maybe out in the field, you take a walk and say, Yahweh, you are my God.
Yeah.
And I am going to live my life and love you with all my heart, soul, and strength. So now we go to verse 13 to 15. And of the high places that were before Jerusalem, which were on the right hand and the mount of destruction, which who?
Solomon.
Solomon, king of Israel, built. This is 300 years later. That's through Asa, left him up. Hezekiah left him up, you know, and because Solomon built him, I guess. And built him unto Asherah, the abominations. And it goes on here. It's Solomon, of all people. And people are still there 300 years later. And we can see that in with our paganism, with the Trinity and the different things that we have in our society. We go to 25, 27. And like him was no king before him who turned unto Yahweh with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, neither after him arose one like him. Howbeit, Yahweh turned not away from the glow of his great anger, wherewith his anger glowed against Judah, because of the provocation with which Manasseh had provoked him. So Yahweh said, even Judah will I remove from my presence, as I have commanded it, as I have removed Israel, and will reject the city which I have chosen, even Jerusalem, and the people to which I have said my name shall be there. Because after he dies, the next king is a real pagan, the next Jew, and they go right back to it. So you got another 15, 20 years with Nebuchadnezzar coming in, and the people, you know, they had Hebrews, slaves, you know, you're supposed to have a slave for 6 years and then you let him go. You let him go, and then a week later they took them all back again. And so they're living in this, you know, and actually it says with Judah. Judah was actually worse than the Canaanites who were there before him, who vomited them out. I removed them, not because of your righteousness, I removed them because of their wickedness. And now you have excelled, you have upped them. Of that, and you are the people who are supposed to have entered into a binding covenant with me.
Which of the people were sacrificing their babies to the god Moloch?
Now we're going to go to Nehemiah, because this is, they go away for 70 years. Nebuchadnezzar comes in, and Nehemiah 8, verse 1 and 3, page 486.
Nehemiah?
Yeah, Nehemiah 8, verse 1 and 3. And they're going to ratify again where we've blown it. So they're back to rebuilding Jerusalem. Then all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the broadway that was before the water gate. They spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which Yahweh had commanded them. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the convocation of both men and women and all that had understanding to hearken on the first day of the seventh month. And read, and that is the first day, that would be creation, Tishri 1. And read therein before the broad place which he was before the water gate from the time of his light unto the noon of the day in the presence of the men and the women, as such as understanding in the ears of all the people were unto the book of the law. But guess what these people did? They had foreign wives. They all broke, you know, in just 70 years, the same sins that Solomon did. They're still happy. Still happy. And 5 and 6. And Ezra opened, the scribe opened the book before the eyes of all the people, for above the people was he. And when you opened it, all the people stood up. That's honoring. 9:1-3. And on the 24th day of this month, the sons of Israel gathered together in the fashion with sackcloth, having earth upon them. They're repenting, and the seed of Israel separated himself from the sons of the foreigner. You cannot, if you marry a wife, she has to become a Hebrew. If she doesn't become a Hebrew, you cannot marry her. Right? Because now she's got her gods, you got Yahweh. She raised the children, you raise the children, they have both gods or multiple gods in the same family. It doesn't happen. So that all comes with that. Jonathan, David and Jonathan cut a covenant. We're not going to go there, but they cut a covenant. We know the great has said, 1 Samuel 18:3 and 23:18. Now we have to say, did Yahushua have a covenant with Yahweh? Now let's say a personal covenant. So not only did he obey the covenant of love Yahweh with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, he went into a personal covenant. And that would be a vow like a Nazarite. And what's he going to do? Is he's going to die for us. Alright? And we know the blessing was promised to him. And that's in Psalms 110 and Psalms 2. You know, that you're going to be seated at my right hand. You're going to be running the earth, the nation. So here's the blessing. But you have entered into a covenant that you're... And he went through that in his reign. And was in the garden and said, please make this cup pass for me. Three times. Not, it's not my will, it's thy will. And so he fulfilled his vow to Yahweh, and he's been rewarded for it. The blood of the covenant is very important. Let's go to Luke 26:26. And connecting the New Testament, and we should say New Testament. The word Testament, it should be covenant. The Greek didn't have a word for covenant, it appears. They had the word testament. Well, a testament is a unilateral arrangement. It's not it's like a last will and testament.
Right.
It's not a covenant. Very simply. So this and really the Gospels are not a new covenant either. They're the same old covenant.
Right.
It's not until after Christ's resurrection that a new age begins. And then we're going to have a different covenant.
Okay, what
back to Luke 26:26. I said New Testament, so I'm going to have to just try to purge myself from saying that.
26.
Luke 26:26.
There are 26 chapters in Luke.
Oh, there's not.
Matthew, maybe.
Oh, good. You're right. Okay. Let me see here. I'll find it very quickly.
Matthew 26:26.
Mm-hmm.
They're eating, and Jesus took the loaf. And
yeah, that's
26,
Matthew.
26.
Sorry. Here's Matthew. And read down there. 26:26. And you
want
to read
26-28, Aaron? Sure. And as they were eating, Yehoshua, taking a loaf and blessing, break and giving it to the disciples, said, take, eat, this is my body. And taking a cup and giving thanks, he gave unto them, saying, drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which for many is to be poured out for remissions of sins. Moreover, I say,
we'll stop right there. It's the blood of the covenant. See, that's in italics.
Okay. Yeah.
That means it's a quote from the Old Testament, which is Exodus 24:8. Exodus 24:8.
107.
Here we go. Lonnie, read 24:8.
Then Moses took the blood and dashed it over the people and said, lo, the blood of the covenant which Yahweh hath
cut with you. So those are the two incidents where it's the blood of the covenant. So what Christ did by becoming our Lord and Savior is setting up a covenant with us. And cut with blood. And this is blood was sprinkled over all the people back in Exodus 24. And we don't have time, but a person could go to Hebrews 9, 11 through 20. In our age, you know, people will start distancing themselves. And they go, well, that's nice for history, but that has no relationship to me. And so we've got to really start realizing, can we not love Yahweh with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength?
Definitely.
Sure.
I mean, we choose not to and be part of His plan.
No.
No. So it's a real simple thing. Does it have to say that?
No.
No. It's all the way through the word of Yahweh. There's two commandments, right? Love Yahweh, love your neighbor. Same story. All the way through. People will say, well, we're not under the curse, and that looks like that way in Galatians. They'll say, we're not under the curse. Well, let's just go there. Galatians 3. And so then people start living a life of lasciviousness, which means license to do whatever I want to do. Because I'm under grace and not under works. And we're going to say not under the law, right? So it's chapter 5. I'm going to go to chapter 5, verse 14. And this is the book of Galatians. For the whole law in one word is summed up, namely, is this what?
Love thy neighbor.
Very simple. Is that still pertinent today? Mm-hmm. Absolutely, the same situation. So when we start talking about the law that we have to do, it has to be referring to the Levitical sacrifices and eating of foods and different things, because ours lays down what we are able to do now compared to that. So you don't have to be circumcised, you know. The Ten Commandments still pertain, and I really think we're really missing it, or I've missed it, on the Sabbath, Sabbath. Because that's one of the Ten Commandments. And we don't have to take off Friday to Saturday. But I believe, I made a mistake, that everybody is required to have a day of rest, period, once a week. And very simply. And that's women not cooking, just to chill. Because this goes right back to Genesis 1. Yahweh rested on the seventh day. And so you're like, this isn't Levitical law. You know, start thinking about it. And we in the United States, I have 2 days of rest.
Right.
I have Saturday and Sunday. I don't work Saturday and Sunday. And so we're not used to that. But even in the Old Testament, it would say, and that you do not work on the seed time or harvest. So you're plowing. I've got to plow because it could rain. And so you think, I'm going to justify it. Yahweh says, I'm your sufficiency. Don't work on that day. Don't work on this day. And I think women have been really abused on that, because they would take off Sunday, like Winnie said, but the mother would cook the chicken meal all day. So she never got off. And it was not legal, because obviously pastors work on Sunday, and Levites worked on Sunday, but you needed a day of rest. There's something about, so everybody can pray about that, there's something about ceasing from your labors. That's what it is. Ceasing from your labors.
Even if you like your labor.
Yeah. It's just, well, it can be reading a book. I mean, it can be walking. I mean, that's fine too. You're not, but it's Yahweh is my sufficiency. I don't need to work. You know, I think everybody should churn that over, because it goes all the way through. And if it's not a specific day, we don't have to worry about that. Now we know, and I'm trying to sum up things real quick, you know, in the book of Revelation, the curses are very evident. The blessing and curse. And so Revelation 14, verse 6 through 12, we don't have to go there. And so our job is to reconcile this age with vowing to Yahweh. Our one vow is, I'm going to love you with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. And when I miss it, I'm going to ask for forgiveness. And if I want to vow a separate vow, I can do that. But don't do it. And it's not required. Don't do it if you're ever going to break it. So this is very solid.
Unless you're never going to break it.
Well, I mean, that's how firm you have to be on it. Because Yahweh said, and that's in Deuteronomy, or Numbers 30. Very important. And when you make those vows, it was in Psalms 116, 14, and 18. Well, let's just go there. We'll finish up there. Psalms 116. And nobody ever needs to know about that. That's between you and Yahweh. If you make a vow, like a Nazarite.
Like Hannah and
Samson. You do not enter lightly. Let's go to verse 12. This was based on, I think they think Hezekiah died. He didn't die. And so he's being saved from dying. How shall I give back to Yahweh all his benefits unto me? The cup of salvation will I lift, and on the name of Yahweh will I call. My vows to Yahweh will I what?
Pay.
Might it be in the presence of all his people. Costly in the eyes of Yahweh is death of his men and his set. I beseech thee, O Yahweh, for I am thy servant. I am the servant, the son of thy handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. What am I? I'm a servant. I'm going to pay my vows to you. To thee will I sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and on the name of Yahweh will I call. My vows to Yahweh will I pay. If I'm dead, I can't pay them.
Yeah.
So here's what I promise to Yahweh, is this what I'm going to do. Might it be in the presence of his people, in the courts of the house of Yahweh, in the midst of the O Jerusalem, praise ye Yah. So we can stop there.
See, that's Hezekiah?
Yeah, they think it is. But people use Psalms 116:15 to say, precious is the death of the saints.
Costly.
And they use, right, but they use that as...
He enjoys
that, people. Yeah, he enjoys killing people. Just a bizarre saying. But the psalm, the person was looked like he was dying and did not die. He was saved from death. And that's why costly is the death of the saints. So this guy can pay his vows, but it's just bizarre. Even John Shane keeps the word precious in there, in his translation. And they're like, I don't know. But, you know, it's costly. Okay, so we'll go ahead and finish up on the word of prophecy for those people. Father, we thank you for these words. As you supplicate to me and as you get down on your knees and bow to me and bend your heart and circumcise your heart, which is what matters, that I will answer your supplications according to your petitions, according to your faith, according to your deeds and your works, because you are my children whom I put on this planet in order to serve me, to bring forth fruit that may multiply greatly, that is well-pleasing in my sight. And I want to bless you with all my blessings. And as you love me, I love you back with greater blessings than you could ever imagine. Amen. See you next week. Or not next week.